broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.com. The holidays are here, and it's time to head to the Heritage Meat Shop for some juicy Berkshire pork roast, tender Piedmontese steaks, traditional Christmas goose, and duck. Our world-famous charcuterie and fresh meats are guaranteed to please everyone, whether it's a party of 2 or 200. Be sure to stop by the Heritage Meat Shop to make your holiday celebration a delicious and memorable event. The Heritage Meat Shop is located at 120 Essex Street in the historic Essex Street Market on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Call 212-539-1111 to order now.
It is Thursday, 1 o'clock, and you are tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to The Farm Report, and I am your host, Erin Fairbanks, and we are live in studio with Maggie Cheney of Bushwick Campus Farm. Maggie, you are the farm manager and educator there, that's correct?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. So I'm excited to talk into a little bit about what's happening on the farm and education front here in Bushwick, where we spend every Thursday from 1 to 1:30 at the back of Roberta's. But before we do that, I would love to hear a little bit more about what brought you to New York, because you're not originally from the area, correct?
That's right. I grew up mostly in the Boston area, and I moved to New York just about a year ago to be farming in the Hudson Valley, about an hour and a half north of New York City.
Nice. So was that your first farming gig or?
No, I've actually grown up farming, and my dad's an organic farmer in the Boston area. And I've been on many farms all around the country, and it's been my profession for about 8 years now.
Wow. And primarily vegetable farming?
Yes, primarily vegetables, fruits, orchards, and just in the Hudson Valley, I was on a farm with a lot of animals, cows, chickens, ducks. Love beekeeping as well.
Kind of a farmer in the Dell situation.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. So you grew up in Boston, and then you moved to New York about a year ago. But in between that, you said you farmed in different places around the country. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey between Boston and New York?
Yeah, I grew up around the Boston area, like I said, and I would spend summers working on a CSA, Farm Community Supported Agriculture, outside Boston. My dad founded a program called the Food Project, which serves youth in the Boston area to connect them to the urban students with rural students and doing an exchange there. So a lot of food justice from when I was a very young child. And
I think one of the funny things about those exchange programs is like food justice, and also we're gonna teach you how to make a potato gun. That's like
what, yeah, totally. It's really fun, you know. Yeah. There's a ton of those activities. Came out of Outward Bound, and it's, they get paid, but it's also, you know, it's really enriching to build their, you know, life skills, personality changes that happen over the course of high school years.
Yeah, and of course, like, so important for, I think, you know, rural students as well to kind of get that exposure, because I know I grew up in a really rural place, and I definitely thought that, like, people from the city were from another planet. I kind of still think that, but anyway.
So I went to school thinking I was going to be a teacher, especially special education. I grew up in the special ed system, and I'm very interested in alternative ways of teaching and learning. As someone with dyslexia and learning disabilities, I think it's really important to reach students who don't fit into the regular classroom situation. So from that, I decided to teach full-time, but I couldn't stand being inside. So I moved to Oakland to see what it would look like. This is California. To be growing food year-round in a different area, and using my education background to be teaching agriculture. So I've taught elementary schoolers. I taught at UC Santa Cruz apprenticeship program where I met and had an amazing time with adults from all over the world, teaching them agriculture there. Many times calling my dad up on the phone, asking him questions about crops and growing techniques, and trying to utilize a lot of the knowledge that's in my family already. But I do, I love the urban agriculture is where my heart is. I think it's a really creative way of growing, and it's an amazing challenge that brings communities together and gets people excited about growing in this way that sometimes when you're farming in a rural area, which I've done before, you don't get that excitement, that newness, that novelty that growing brings to people. So I'm going to, from the Hudson Valley to New York City in Bushwick, Brooklyn, I get to teach agriculture in a way that's so exciting every day.
Yeah, because people walking down the street aren't expecting to see some of the stuff that's going on. Whereas if you're in a rural community, it's like not that abnormal to like drive past a cornfield. Whereas,
yeah,
you know, you're walking down the streets of New York City and you see, you know, plants or people moving dirt around and you're like, hey, what's going on? There was a big kind of East Coast, West Coast thing happening in Santa Cruz too. I mean, I feel like there was some, you know, people from the urban farming community and whatnot who came through. Did you cross paths at all with anyone?
Yes. Being there for 2 years, I met a number of people from New York City. Karen Washington, who does a lot of great work in the Bronx and with community gardens in all around New York City. Jane Hodge from Just Foods, New York Farm School Program. You know, I can name a lot of people doing amazing work all over the city. Those are just two of a lot of them that went to this program to learn growing skills, like
sure.
Very much
like
growing
hard,
skills.
Like the hard technical skills of like, you know, what actually is happening with the soil? What are the needs of the plant? How does that change based on, you know, where we are? So you were farming up in the Hudson Valley. What brought you down to Bushwick?
Well, I had heard about this school program through a friend of mine, Joe Chavez, who was working with the Bushwick Campus Schools last year. And he and an organization called EcoStation New York started to build a farm on a high school campus. And when I went to visit over the summer, I would come into Brooklyn a lot because I craved that city life again. I would go and visit the farm, and I fell in love with it immediately, you know, and I realized there was an opportunity to take the farm manager position at the end of the summer, and I jumped on it. I just saw so much potential, and working with schools in Oakland and working with other schools around the Northeast, I met with the teachers here in Bushwick, and I was so floored by how excited they were and how enthusiastic they were about someone coming in to teach agriculture, and how, you know, there's four principals that all were on board. It was an unusual situation to walk into.
That's awesome. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to tuck into a little bit about what's happening over at the Bushwick campus, and you know, maybe you can walk us through the layout a little bit and what the plans for, you know, that spring are going to be.
Great.
Say it.
Man, we were getting ahead of ourselves, daydreaming about spring weather and having Maggie, who I'm in, live in studio with, of the Bushwick Farm campus, come back with some of her students. So, Maggie, you showed up at the Bushwick campus in August, started, did you take over for someone who had been a farm manager there before? So there was kind of something else going on?
Yes. The farm had been built the previous spring, so it's its first full growing season. Not even full, because it didn't get started until a little bit later. And Joe Chavez was the farm manager before. He's a good friend of mine. And so he helped transition me to become the farm manager.
Okay, so give us kind of the lay of the land. So Bushwick campus is essentially a group of four different high schools in Bushwick. And tell us a little bit about kind of what the actual farm space looks like and what you guys are doing over there.
Okay. So Bushwick campus houses four public high schools, and each of the high schools has a theme. So there's the Bushwick School for Social Justice, an urban planning school, environmental leadership school, and the newest one, which is Be Smart Math and Research. And with that, all four schools decided to collaborate on building this farm on the actual campus. So it was a small corner of the school campus that used to be a soccer warm-up area, but it wasn't actually getting used that much because there's quite a big field for the soccer. So that turned into building large raised beds and bringing in soil. And from there, continually building different structures, so that right now we have an eco shed, which has a water catchment system that then feeds a hydroponic system on a vertical fence. We have demonstration composting bins, which I teach the students at all the high schools about composting, as well as other teachers in the area. And we have also this new project, which is building a greenhouse. So we're expanding every single day almost, just because, you know, there are a lot of students and a lot of projects they want to do. We're hoping to have bees on the top of the school next year. And we can really do a lot of production. It's a small amount of space, but we're using it really well. And we're growing crops that feed the community, which is the point. We want to feed the community. We also sell to restaurants. We have farmers markets. And we also have a on-site farm stand at the actual school.
Nice. So can you tell us a little bit about the funding for the garden? I mean, did it come through the school's budget? Does the school pay you, or are you part of that, I'm totally blanking on the word.
Eco-station?
Well, are you employed by the school, or are you employed by an outside agency? And kind of how does like funding for the equipment and the time and all that happen?
It's a real collaboration, because sometimes the schools will come up with grants. Like, we got an irrigation grant that one of the teachers had applied for in one of our schools, and that came for the supplies. A lot of the supplies and structures can come from all over the place, like mini grants and collaborations with Boswick's Farms, which came in and did the hydroponic system with us, as well as EcoStation in New York, which is where my position came in. And we're funded by foundations. And this coming year, we got a federal grant to have a green machine, so which will be a mobile market that will be going around Bushwick. So it's like a little bit here, a little bit there, and definitely, you know, we're a new program,
right?
So we're seeking money wherever we can get it.
Yeah, you guys have a Kickstarter campaign going right now, correct?
We do. We have a great Kickstarter campaign.
Well, tell us, what are you raising money for?
We are raising money to complete and pay back the greenhouse we just built.
Okay.
So we expanded our site on the campus to include this long corridor that's south-facing, and we built a 40-foot by 12-foot greenhouse. This greenhouse is going to be an outdoor classroom so that we can extend our farm programs throughout the winter. And with the greenhouse, we're going to have a side-by-side comparison of hydroponics and aquaponics and soil grown plants.
Wow.
So it's going to be everything. We're going to have mushrooms in there, water catchment again. We're trying to create as many opportunities for learning and intrigue and enthusiasm for the campus as we can.
And how does that, I mean, how does the lessons work? I mean, do you essentially, as farm manager, kind of manage the actual farm space and create the resources, and then, you know, teachers come in and they're like, hey, we want to come here on Tuesday at 2, or we want to do a class on this, what do we got going? Or how does that interplay between you and the rest of the faculty happen?
That's a great question. Right now, I manage, you know, food production for markets, but also manage the education programs at the school. And the education programs are set up that teachers will contact me when they want to come outside during the school day for a class. So sometimes we'll plan on focusing on farm policy, and we'll do a outdoor, you know, worksheet, and then hands-on lesson, and then reflections with the teacher. Other times it'll be ESL, English Language Learners, that will come out after school or during the day. And we'll just, you know, practice, you know, speaking English and Spanish the whole time, and doing agricultural skills. And other times it's after school program that's really focused on cooking. You know, it's a little bit of everything right now because there are so many teachers with interest. And so I see a range of different topics that we cover, of a range of what the actual teachers and the students are interested in. And with that, there's a lot to build on because there's new ideas coming every single day.
Yeah.
And we also give tours. So as an educator for the school, I also want to educate the community. So just a couple days ago, we had about 80 second graders from elementary school a couple of blocks away come visit the farm. And they'd never seen an urban farm before. So that was great. It was so fun, you know, to have them all there and pulling out carrots. And that, to me, is what it's about. I love farming in urban areas because, especially when it's right on the block, right on the sidewalk, it's accessible to the community, because there's always those points of educating.
Yeah, teachable moment.
Teachable moment. Yeah.
Awesome. So when you have all the students hanging out, I mean, it sounds like there's like a lot going on in the garden, and I'm curious, you know, as you move into the winter months, and then I know kind of one of the other challenges for schoolyard gardens is that schools aren't happening throughout the summer, which is like one of the main times where the garden's in production. So can you talk a little bit about how, you know, the year in the life of a school farm might be different than the year in a life of a farm that's more focused on production for other markets?
Right. So last summer, we were able to have two urban tillers, which is a program through Green Gorillas, and they were employed youth that worked on the farm during the summer. So that's something that I see a real future at the Bushwick campus farm, is being able to hire more students for the summer, so that even though there isn't classes, I mean, there's some summer classes going on, but we can really give students summer jobs where otherwise they'd be working at McDonald's or they'd be working at the clothing store down the road. Instead, they can be growing vegetables, feeding their community, learning about food policy. And so we're going to try to build that. As it goes into the fall, we are growing crops that grow well in the fall, trying to extend the season as much as possible with brassicas and lettuces and cold hardy crops.
Right.
And then even more so, that's why we need the greenhouse.
Exactly.
Is because we don't want it to stop. There's a momentum that you build throughout the summer, and then in the fall, students who weren't there in the summer get so excited about it that they don't want to stop. And I still get, you know, emails every single day from teachers and students wanting to keep doing the farm work, even though it's 30 degrees out.
You're like, that enthusiasm wanes pretty quickly once you're actually outside.
I know. I keep them moving. We'll figure ways to get their blood up.
So the Kickstarter project, you guys are looking to raise $15,000. You're a little bit over halfway there, right? Mm-hmm. And you have, I think, 8 more days. And now how Kickstarter works is basically you set an amount, and if you don't hit that amount, no matter how much you've raised, like if you guys raise $14,000, you know, $999, you get zero. Like you have to hit the $15,000 to make it count. So, so you guys are in the big push. You have, what, 8 days left?
Yep.
Awesome. And I know you have like some other events coming up to get the word out about the farm. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. So in addition to doing networking and trying to get the word out there, we are going to do a day on December 26th, which is called the Eat to Give Day for restaurants in the New York City area. So we're going to be working with restaurants in Bushwick, some that we already sell to, restaurants in Manhattan. All of them will be donating a percentage of that day's earnings to the Bushwick Campus Farm and our Kickstarter. So that can be 1%, that can be 5%. It's up to the individual restaurant. But it's a way for restaurants to support local urban agriculture. So we're really excited about that day. And you can go online to the Bushwick Campus Farm Kickstarter page and find out more information on which restaurants are having that day. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think what else is nice about the Kickstarter page, it gives a little bit of info on some of the community partners you work with. You had mentioned the Boswick Farms and the Eco Station, the AUP Food Fighters, the Bushwick Green Team. I mean, it seems like there's really a lot. If people are kind of interested in you know, engaging in what's happening in the Bushwick area, can they get in touch with you directly, or is there somewhere we can send them so when they want to like live their urban farming dreams via the Bushwick campus, they can?
I love volunteers. I work with a lot of people in my neighborhood to come help out in any way they would like. Varies from harvesting with us, teaching the students. Love working with older people from the neighborhood who have such experience and rich backgrounds to come to the school and teach the students as well. So they can email me at maggie@ecostationny.org.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Maggie, thank you so much for coming in today. It was great to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to having you and some of your students back in the spring and hopefully toasting the success of your Kickstarter project.
Thank you so much.
You have just finished listening to another episode of The Farm Report. Tune in next week, Thursday at 1 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.